Would you like a blessing today? Are you expecting a blessing today? Are you looking forward to a blessing from God's Word today? Well, I want to talk to you today about Jesus as the blesser, the one who blesses his people. And we're going to see that on full display in this passage here in Mark chapter 10. If you have a Bible available to you, I'd encourage you to have it in front of you. It'll really help in our study together. But when it comes to blessings, if I said blessings are being dispensed over there, we'd go get in that line right away, would we not? Well, we're going to get in that line today as we learn how to find your blessing from Jesus. And as we do, we're just going to look at things a little bit differently, make a few adjustments, and I'm going to give you a couple of key questions to ask. That's all going to just kind of point us to get in that particular position where Jesus can bless us in some amazing and unusual way. So I want you to come along in the study. I think you'll find it very interesting and very enjoyable and very enlightening of how we can see this one who is our Savior is also the one who wants to bless us. Let me take you to verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. I'm just going to read the beginning as we introduce this story. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, so he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, to find your blessing, first of all, I want to just give you this principle. Don't listen to the crowds. Don't listen to popular opinion. Don't go the way that everybody else is going. Isn't that what we advise our children when they're young? Don't follow the crowd. Don't do what everybody else is doing. And then there's that old maxim that we give. If everyone else is jumping off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Well, we as adults need to make sure we're not doing some bridge jumping of our own because we're following the wrong influence. Well, we see this man in this place of Jericho. Now, Jericho was about 5 miles or so from the upper end of the Dead Sea. And as pilgrims would go to Jerusalem, and they're heading to Jerusalem for the Passover, because we'll see that over in chapter 11 if you kind of glance over at the next chapter. The triumphal entry is the next story that takes place in Mark's account. And they would come down the Jordanian Valley, all the pilgrims at least coming out of the Galilee into the north. They would cross the Jordan River near Jericho. Oftentimes they would spend the night or at least stop for some refreshment in Jericho. And then it was about 18 miles on to Jerusalem where the temple was and where the Passover was to be kept. And by the way, that's 18 miles all uphill. So this was a real point of getting ready for this last leg of the journey. So imagine with me, there's a great crowd of people. They're all wanting to get to where they're going for the Passover. It would have been an enormously exciting time any time there was a Passover. This was a yearly occurrence. But it was even more exciting because Jesus was on the way. And in essence, in their minds, he was leading the parade. Because the expectation was that Jesus, when he got to Jerusalem, was going to deal finally with the corrupt Roman authorities and the corrupt religious authorities, and the kingdom was going to come in. You remember with the triumphal entry, when he comes riding on that donkey on that Sunday, they were all saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were expecting a deliverer in an earthly, military, governmental sense. So all this is going on, this anticipation. So imagine a rush of people, just a murmur of voices and animals and children running around, and they're all kicking up the dust that you can almost taste in the arid air of that era. And you also see that everybody has this leaning forward. We got go fever. We're ready to go. And as they're leaving Jerusalem, this man who is called Bartimaeus starts asking, apparently, well, what's going on? He's blind. He can't see what's going on, so he's dependent on someone else. And the fact that it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that phrase of verse 47, when he heard what was going on, that was the statement that was made. It's Jesus of Nazareth. But then immediately he starts crying out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." He already was not listening to the crowd because he's changed the designation that you see in that text. They said Jesus of Nazareth, which was what anyone from Nazareth could have been known by that name, just a common designator. The fact that he says Jesus, son of David, indicates that even though he was physically blind, he was already seeing on the outside what most people were missing. He believed that this son of David was the Messiah, God come among his people. In fact, if you have a Bible open, you just kind of flip over one page over to chapter 12 and verse 35. Once Jesus got to Jerusalem, he makes this statement or asks this question. Then Jesus answered and said, well, he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? And then it gets into a fuller discussion. So you see, even from that verse right here, very close at hand, that the son of David was a messianic term. He wasn't listening to the crowd. The crowd said, you be quiet, after he started yelling out. And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Can't you just picture all this dust, all this hustle and bustle, all this go fever? We got to get going. Don't delay Jesus, because when he gets to Jerusalem, everything's going to get better. He's going to fix all of our problems. It's going to be better than the feeding of the 5,000. It's going to be better than all of the miraculous events and miracles and sermons. He's going to take care of our problem once and for all. We got to go. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, as he cries out. And they tell him, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. You're not important. You can wait. Don't bother us. Don't bother Jesus. Well, sometimes the voices in our world tell us, don't bother with Jesus. Don't go there. The influencers of the crowd tell us, do it yourself. Or find some human-derived mechanism for solving our problems. Now, the influencers are all around. It could be just our friend group that followed natural wisdom. It might be that expert on TV, the guy who wrote the book, the woman who penned the article, the talking head on the talk show that tell us just how life would be, that give us lifestyles and responses and behaviors that everybody does it. You know, do what you want with morality. Don't be old-fashioned. Everybody does it to get ahead in business and in life. If you have to cheat a little, lie a little, push a little, tear down someone a little, it's okay. Everybody does it. Make sure you don't listen to the crowds if you want to find a blessing. But here's what you do do. Do listen to the Savior. Look what happens. Verse 48 again. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. It's amazing. It tells you something about the crowd, doesn't it? Why they should not be the primary ones that we follow. Because, be quiet, Jesus, son of David, be quiet, be quiet. Will you just please shut up? We have more important things to do. But finally, when Jesus, who is the celebrity in this setting, who's the one that everybody is focused on, when he says, call that man to me. Oh! You want him? Okay. Stop with the be quiet. Hey, be of good cheer. Be happy. Be thrilled that you're being called. And they usher him to the front. This one who was of no value to them a moment ago because Jesus, the celebrity, had said it, he's now of value. You can't trust the crowds because they go back and forth. But do listen to the Savior. And it says he called him and they said, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. And then he does something very significant. It says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, we might tend to think in our imagination that he takes off his jacket, takes off his cloak, and so he can move a little faster. But probably what happened was, because what happened with beggars of the day, by the way, this is prime season for a beggar, okay, in Jericho. Because you have all these people going to this religious service, this religious feast time in Jerusalem for Passover. They were expected to give gifts to the poor, those that had need. Even since he was blind in their culture, they didn't have all the helps and resources you'd have for someone that was disabled. They were just dependent on the welfare and the good nature and the generosity of others. So he just sat along begging. And what they would do, he would take off his garment, his cloak, his outer garment, and would lay it out in front of him, sort of like a little blanket, and people would toss coins onto that garment. So at the end of the day, he could just gather up his garment like a little bag or a little holder, and all the coins that were there collected could be gathered. So it was sort of like his offering plate, if you will. But notice what it says, when Jesus called him, he pushes it aside. He knows something very significant, why he didn't listen to the crowds, but instead he did listen to the Savior. He shoves it aside. And in spite of his physical blindness, he was seeing far more than the rest of the crowds. Why? Because he was listening to Jesus, not to all those other voices out there. And in his sight, his spiritual sight, he realized he's not going to need that anymore. That's of no value. Even though this was probably the biggest day of his receiving gifts from, as he begged, of the entire year. Right here at Passover, where all these crowds are coming by. It's like the busy season. Instead, he shoves it aside. Why? Because he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Let's think about us for just a moment. How do we approach this? How do we get this to be a blessing in our lives? Well, we've already talked about there's noisy voices out there. Every time you turn on the television, open a book, start a conversation, go on the internet, start scrolling through your Twitter feed, look online on Facebook, whatever it is. You have all these experts telling us how we should live, what we should do. Here's how you can make money. Here's how you can fix up your life. Here's how you can change your life. Here's how you can be better in relationships. All this, and some of it may not be necessarily bad, but make sure above it all that we listen for Jesus' voice. The great news is, as we seek Him above that noise, now that noise is going to be there. Be quiet. Don't bother the Savior. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You cry out above that noise to Him. And secondly, if you do, realize this, He can hear you above the noise. He finally hears this one crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and he stops. The whole parade comes to a stop. You know, probably a few people bumping into each other, like, okay, why do we stop? And he calls for this man to come. And they, oh, be of good cheer, he wants you, come on, come on, come on. And he comes up, he throws, pushes aside his garment, probably with coins jingling into the dust. And he comes to Jesus, because Jesus heard him above all the noise. Jesus sought him out. Jesus treats us as individuals. Jesus knows us by name. He is personal in his interaction with us. So how should we do this? How do we seek his voice above the noise? How do we make sure that we tune out all the other noise? How do we make sure that we don't listen to the crowds and we do listen to the Savior? I want you to ask this question. The talking head guy comes on TV. The expert shows up on your screen as you're scrolling. Make sure you ask this question. But what does Jesus say? Now take that question. You see it in front of you there. What does Jesus say? He says this. What does Jesus say? The expert says this. What does Jesus say? The celebrity, the famous person, has a lifestyle that looks like this. What does Jesus say? Satan whispers in our ears, you really could go this way. But what does Jesus say? When you ask that question, one or two things is going to happen. Either you're going to recall what it is Jesus says from something you already know, and just in the asking that question, you're inviting Him to come and speak into your life. You're in essence doing what this blind man did. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus will come in and speak to us and give a blessing. And or it will either recall or it will lead us to, secondly, to research. Maybe we don't know what Jesus says, but we can do the research in this book. We can get into it and study. Find out what Jesus says. If there's an expert about how we handle our finances, what does Jesus say? Someone says, this is how you handle relationships. This is how we handle our sexuality. This is how we handle our business relationship. Here's how we handle the truth. What do they say? What does Jesus say? If you faithfully do that, you're going to put yourself in the place where Jesus the Blesser is going to unlock a blessing for you. Now, let's get back to our story, and I want to draw your attention now to verse 51. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now, we just read those words, but you have to really insert some imagination in to really get the view. I mean, this man is blind. And for those of us that are sighted people, we need to really kind of imagine, just maybe even close your eyes for a few moments and just think, that's all taken from you. Think of all the things you couldn't do, all the things that would endanger you in, how it would put you at a real disadvantage. So this man comes to Jesus. He's looking for a blessing, and he's about to get it. So Jesus calls him. Now, he obviously had already believed in Jesus. He's called him the Son of David. He comes to him. He cries to him above the noise, and he comes to him. And then Jesus asks him this question, what do you want me to do for you? Well, I think he knew the answer, but he's wanting that man to express his faith. The fact that he asked for healing, he asked for his sight to be restored, is a good indication that he believed that Jesus could do it. He was expecting Jesus could do it. And I think Jesus is wanting everybody else to hear and enter into this miracle as well. Because you remember, we've talked about this in the study of miracles, that all the miracles, yes, they helped the individual in question, but it is also teaching something far greater and far deeper about who he is and the greater scheme of things. So there's always a small picture, if you want to say it that way, and then there's a larger picture, a larger issue at hand. We'll come to that in just a moment. He says, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now, sometimes we get hung up on this, and I want to just encourage you to listen to me now. The next point, I got to explain, all right? Don't focus on your faith. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, okay? Yes, we need to have faith. We need to focus on the faith. But don't focus on our faith, how much we have or how much we don't have. Oh, my goodness, I have some doubts. I'm a person of little faith. My faith runs hot and cold and wavering. That's not the point. In fact, we might be tempted to believe, well, you had enough faith, Bartimaeus, for the Lord to save you and for the Lord to heal you from this blindness. But if you'd had a little less faith, you may not have reached the mark. In fact, there's people who've been, frankly, spiritually abused by this, by saying, well, God would have healed you of whatever disability if you just had more faith. And since you weren't healed, you have a problem. Don't focus on how much faith we have or don't have. We need to focus in another direction. Focus your faith on him. You see, it's not how much faith I have or don't, or whether I struggle, but is that faith in the right person? Is that faith directed to the right person to help me? And let me tell you, our faith focused on the Lord Jesus is always focused on the right person. So don't focus on whether I have a little or I'm struggling. Focus your faith on him. What can he do? What is he able to do? What does the Bible reveal? What do I know about him? What has he done for me in the past? What are the current blessings outside of the one I'm seeking right now that he's able to help me with? So I want to encourage you to focus on this aspect of what it says that that he can do for us. Now, notice in verse 51, look at it again. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. He invites us to tell him what we need. Jesus invites you to tell him what you need. Oftentimes we talk about that maybe we spend too much time asking for things and not enough time praising. Yes, we need to have that in balance. But don't forget, he invites us to ask, what do you need from him? Have you asked him for it? Maybe that old phrase in the scriptures, you have not because you ask not, falls into play. Make sure you've taken it to him. Make sure you've asked him for it as for whatever you need. But no, understand, this is not about generating more faith. This is all about putting faith in the right place. So let's see how this unfolds. Let's imagine this, if you will. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Interesting statement, because he's going to go a particular way in the next verse. You just go on your way. This is over. This is past. Your faith has made you well. As we focus our faith on him, as you focus your faith on him, you're going to see the amazing things he can do. And you're going to live with that anticipation of what he's going to do. And he may not do for you exactly the thing you think he should do when he should do it, but he may bless you in other ways. He's able and free. We talked about it last week. He's unrestrained. He can do whatever he wants. And everything he does ultimately will be for our good. So the blessing comes. So you can imagine. And immediately he opens his eyes and he could see, and people start detecting. He was blind a moment ago, but it's obvious from his reaction and his demeanor of his face and the expression of his face that he could see. A miracle took place just like that in front of them because he focused his faith on the right person. So what can he do for us? Let's think about that for a moment. We talked about don't focus on our faith or our lack thereof, but do focus our faith on him, what he could do. Let me give you the second question I want you to think about, and it's simply this. What can he do? First question, you remember, was what does he say? All the people are talking out there. What does Jesus say above it all? All the things that we fear, what can he do? And really it revolves around the things that we perceive that we need, the things that scare us. Right now we're in the middle of a health scare. It's interesting. You go out to the grocery stores, you go out outside, people are sort of staying away from each other, as well they should. But we're afraid for our health. Sometimes we're worried about what goes along with what has come from all this, and other times in our lives, about our economy as a country. And what about our personal economies? Are we going to have enough? Is our lifestyle going to be diminished in some way? Sometimes it's about our own health. Sometimes we have a health scare. When all those events happen, don't focus on my faith, whether I'm struggling or not, but focus your faith on Him and simply ask the question, what can He do? And this will take you back to the Scriptures. What could He do? Well, He healed a blind man. He answers prayer. He answers this request. He changes this man's life. He can do all this. Think of all these miracles that we've been looking at in this study. I encourage you to really process it. What can He do? He can work miracles. He can heal. Obviously, not everybody is healed. There is a time for people to go home, and God knows how long we have. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. So we want to be ready and have our knowledge of the Lord intact and our faith firm in Him for our salvation. So He doesn't heal everything, but He can. And ultimately, when we're with the Lord, there's going to be no sorrow, no dying, no pain, no tears. That's the ultimate healing. But even on this side of heaven, God is in the healing business and the restoring business, or giving us strength to sustain. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh that he prayed about. God didn't take the thorn away, but He said, I will show My strength through your weakness. And so sometimes God chooses to do that. But ask the question, what can He do? Sometimes we're scared about what's going on in the world, in the government and politics, and it's an election year, and is the world coming to an end? Is everything going to fall apart? Are we going to go through hard times? What can He do? Don't focus on your faith or lack thereof. Focus your faith rather on Him, and just simply ask the question, what can you do? It's again, it will be those, that'll be an opportunity for you either to recall what He can do, what you know from your own experience and from the Bible, or it'll give you the opportunity to research what He can do and learn more about that. Now, I want you to look at this last verse again, verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now the question is, which way is He going to go? Is He going to go back to living in Jericho? He's probably not going to go back to begging because he doesn't have that disability that would lead him to that endeavor. But what's He going to do? But look what it says. And immediately he received his sight, just like that, and followed Jesus on the road. He joins the parade going up to Jerusalem. The fact that he is named probably is an indication that he became rather well known in the early church. I think God used him to be a great testimony, or maybe a significant leader in the church. But the fact that he's named really indicates that this would have been someone the original readers of the Gospel of Mark would have known or known about. But he followed Jesus on the road. You remember Jesus had said to him, he said, go your way. And in fact, he's saying to you and I today, go your way. Choose which way you're going to go. This man chose to be a follower of the Lord. And remember, there's a bigger picture here. We talked about that there's always a bigger picture. The bigger picture here is one who was outwardly blind, inwardly could see. What was happening in this man's body was outwardly in the healing was really an indication of what had already happened in his soul. He was blind, but now he could see physically. He had been blind, but he could previously, even to this healing, could see that Jesus was the Son of David, that He was the blesser. He was the one who could heal. And this is what God wants us to do. And if you've already come to Him for your salvation, you simply follow Jesus on the road. You follow Him on the way that He invites us to go. You live for Him. And you insert those two questions into all of your encounters and all of your interactions. When someone in the crowd is telling you something to do or not do, what does Jesus say? That'll lead you to recall or research what indeed He says. And when you're facing your own fears and needs, Lord, what can You do? And that'll cause you either to recall or to research what He can do for you. But there might be someone that is listening today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe you are still spiritually blind and you're wandering in the darkness of this life, not knowing which way to turn, what to do, what the answer is. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. And you turn to Him. I would encourage you to just, even the privacy of your own heart, to just pray a prayer like this. Tell Him that you thank, you know He exists, and you thank Him for being the God that He is. Thank Him that He sent His Son to be your Savior. Confess that you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And in your belief, you are now receiving His gift of forgiveness and His gift of eternal life. And from this point on, you want to turn from that lifestyle of the past and you want to follow Him in the rest of the road that lies ahead for your life. If you prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, you're now one of His children. And just contact us here at the church. We'd love to hear about that. We want to get some help to you that'll help you get really jump-started in your walk and your relationship with the Lord Jesus. We want to help you get connected to a church and connected with others that are also in that way. You know, there's an old gospel song. John Newton wrote it years ago. We sing it all the time, Amazing Grace. And it includes this line, and I think it fits this text so well. I once was blind, but now I see. Now that is amazing grace. That can be yours in salvation today if you will trust Him. Believer in Christ, that can be yours in the blessing department today. You can now see blessings and see His work in ways you would not otherwise. So may God bless you as we seek to make sure that we focus our faith on Him, that we tune out the crowd and we tune into Jesus, that we ask these two questions. Lord, what do you say? Lord, what can you do? As you receive those answers, it's going to unlock blessings in your life. May God bless you, and may we continue to just rejoice in that amazing grace that we once were blind, but now can see.